Ryan Rashog joins us to talk about that series. Shogger, how you doing?
Good, good. I thought that East cameraman Dave Parker and I bickered like an old married couple on the road here. You two were like, wow.
Are you and Dave, have you guys kissed and made up after you put a prank about him on Facebook?
Oh, yeah, I know. We're good now.
Yeah, I like how you laugh. You love it when you're the executor of the pranks. You don't seem to laugh as much when you're the receiving end of the pranks.
Well, now you have to tell people because not everybody's on Facebook. It was this classic moment where he fell asleep with the movie paused and his headphones in his ears right next to me on the plane. And for some reason, we were sitting next to one another. And I was in a middle seat, and he was in the aisle seat, and he was all chirping at me about how he's more important. So that's why he got the aisle seat. He was chirpy and he had it coming. So while he was sleeping with his headphones in and the movie paused, I cranked the volume on his touch screen and hit play and recorded it on my phone. And he shot bolt upright so fast. Just ripped him out of a dead sleep. I give him credit. He laughed about it right away instead of like punching me in the side of the head like I thought I probably deserved.
Who do you think's better, Rask or Price?
Price. Yeah, he's a better goalie right now than Tuukka Rask is. I think that Carey's got more composure to his game. I think Tuukka Rask has a tendency to get thrown off of his game. He's got a bit of a temper, acts up a little bit. Rask has way more of the demeanor, I think, for this time of year. Price has way more of the demeanor necessary for this type of year. And be honest with you, Struts, like, I don't know, Struts, what did you think when you heard what Tuukka said about his game last night? He said, I was bleep, and then he said, when you suck, you suck, and he kind of, like, I get that it's good when a guy stands there and admits he did that the best night and he wants to be better for his teammates, but to me, it almost seemed a little pouty and kind of weird to me. I thought it was I thought it was a little too far. I don't know. How would you think about it if your goaltender said those things?
I'm always hesitant to judge Europeans when they say anything because I think sometimes, and I recognize he's been here for a while, but sometimes it get lost in translation. And just the way they say comments can maybe be, you know, misread. Listen, though, I don't mind a guy taking a stand and saying, listen, I wasn't good and moving on in that. But what I like about Tuukka Rask that he's done for quite a few years, and I think Carey's kind of gotten there this year, maybe with a new goalie coach, his economy of movement is net. He's not flying around the net. Like, Tim Thomas was fun to watch, and yeah, he was a competitor and this and that. But as a D-man, he was always all over the net, and he didn't know where his rebounds are going. At the end of the day, he did stop the puck. But I'd like to see a guy who's behind me who's calm. And I think Tuukka is calm in the net, and he lets the puck hit him. He swallows up rebounds like Pac-Man. I mean, that's what I like. And Carey has started to do that. But until Carey gets deeper in the playoffs, you know, show me the money, Carey. Show me the money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he needs the opportunity to. He's finally got a team in front of him that probably should be able to carry on. They got through the first round pretty handily. I think he's done really well with the opportunity he's been given so far, in particular this year. Honestly, in a one-game winner-take-all right now, I'm taking Carey Price ahead of Tuukka Rask.
Ryan Rashog joins us. Ryan, the game last night, the Habs got out early. And Boston in the third period, man, if they're the best third period team in the NHL, and you wonder why they wait so long to really fire up their game, but they completely controlled it then. What do they have to say about the fact that it's great to be the best third period team in the NHL, but I don't know if you always want to wait until the third period to have to dominate the game.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the Bruins felt pretty good about their whole game. I don't think they felt like, well, we finally woke up in the third and got a couple of goals and forced overtime. I think they hit a different gear when panic time set in. But I think that really from the start of the game through even through the second period and into the third, they felt pretty good about the number of chances they had. They felt pretty good about the amount of time they had the puck. I don't think they feel like they were terrible for 40 minutes and suddenly woke up. So, but they showed in that third period that there's a whole different level to their game. They have to be able to find a way to access that a little bit early on before desperation time for sure. But every Bruin I talked to last night, every Bruin I talked to today, that if we play like that, we'll win the series. they all believe that if they play that well, they'll win the series. That's how confident they are in the way they played last night.
The Bruins, are they a group that need to commit emotionally to a series more so than perhaps the Canadiens?
How do you mean, Strud? Like, you mean like physically? Do you mean like?
I think you have to see some scrums. I think you have to see these guys at times, you know, mucking it up in the corners and trying to get the other team off their game. And if they, for them just to play straight up hockey, I don't think that's when the Bruins are at their best.
Yeah, and you see, it's a great point, but I think the Canadiens know that. I think the Canadiens absolutely 100% know that that would be a tactic that the Bruins will employ. And if you watch that game last night, there were scrums after the whistles. The Canadiens were turning foot and skating away. Mm-hmm. They weren't engaging in any of it. They wanted nothing to do with it. Desharnais skated away from a slash. Subban skated away from, I think, a glove or a stick in the face after the whistle. Montreal is not engaging in any way in this kind of stuff, and I think that that's a tactic. I think it's a ploy. I think it's a very conscious effort on their part not to do that, because I think they've tried it in the past and they realize that if they do that, it's kind of like poking the bear a little bit, and there's no reason to do that. You can see the Bruins last night trying to manufacture it a little bit. Jerome McGinley especially, a couple whistles where he just went in kind of out of nowhere and started trying to muck it up with guys, and you can tell they're trying to manufacture that. But Strud, I mean, you know, if it's not there, if it's false and the other team isn't willing to engage, what are you supposed to do?
I think you just grind away. You grind away shift after shift, and sooner or later, when fatigue sets in for the Kings, I mean, they're fresh as a daisy. They've gotten guys back from injuries. Everything's – it's a perfect first-round scenario for the Canadiens. They're healthy, mostly. Galchenyuk, you know, everything like that. The things are going their direction. You got to keep going. And I firmly believe this will be a long series, and the Bruins have to keep the pace game after game after game. And I agree with what the Bruins said to you today. If they play like they did last night, they will win this series. You can't just count on your goalie to play well for you every night in the playoffs. It doesn't work like that. He can steal some games. But, I mean, last night, Lucic had the perfect chance to finish that game off, goes through his file. If he scores that goal, what's the tone of this conversation today?
Yeah, no, and that's fair.
Yeah.
The other thing is, though, Montreal, you know, what did they sit out, 10 games? So, you know, maybe they're rusty, too. Like, I don't think Boston is going to, you know, have that much of an advantage in shots directed and enter shots on goal every game. I don't see that transpiring, right? And that's where
– Well, one of the – Sorry, Jason, go ahead.
No, I was just – and I think that those things even out over a series. And when if your goalie can win you flat out one game or two games
absolutely
in a series, I think that's when you can win a series.
Well, and Michel Therrien said he really felt that his team played like a team that had been off for 10 days. He felt like their timing was off. He felt like some of their systems were a little bit off. He really – and that was masked by Carey Price early on, because the Bruins had some great opportunities in the first 30 minutes of that game. They could have been up 3-0 easily, even early on in that game. But Price masked what I thought was a rocky start for the Canadiens. So I agree with you, Jason. I think their game is only going to go up. I don't necessarily think we'll see that kind of a discrepancy game in, game out. I think Montreal's going to figure it out and settle into their game. But I do believe that Boston is probably the better team here. And for Montreal to beat them, they're going to have to do similar to what they did to Tampa. They're going to have to stay with their game plan. They're going to have to try and suffocate them a little bit, frustrate them a little bit, and not let Boston do what Boston wants to do. And I think that they got away with one in game one. But I think, from what I saw from the Canadiens last round, they have much better in them than that. And I would suspect that starts tomorrow afternoon.
What's going on with Vanek?
Yeah, interesting. And you know, he was really honest today. Like, we had a long talk with him, and he just said, "I got to be better. I mean, there's no excuses. I have to be better." I mean, he got dumped down on the fourth line. He played 12 minutes and 22 seconds through 60 minutes. That's his lowest total as a Canadian. That's no good. Not in game one of a series of this importance. So it's the thing about Vanek, though, and Marty Biron, who's on our panel here, played with him. You can see the talent there. You can see the incredible talent, the incredible ability. You can see the size, the strength. But boy, he just fades in and out, just fades in and out. And last night he faded out. And Marty made the great point today in our chat that, you know, it's one thing to come and stand in front of the media and say, "I need to be better." And yeah, and you own it and you be accountable for it. Well, he knew after the first period last night he needed to be better. He knew after the second period last night he needed to be better. He was unable to turn his game around in-game, and that's a problem. You can't at this time of year play three crappy periods when you're somebody of that importance. You need to be able to turn it around in-game, and that was the challenge for him. He failed. We'll see what he does next game.
Shogger, it's fitting that we wrap up this conversation because we're here at On the Rocks, which in 3 weeks will be our second annual karaoke contest. And one of your favorite songs, Tiny Dancer by Elton John, is playing over the speakers right now.
Fantastic. That is an absolute classic. Although I would not want to hear Strud sing it because you got to get up into that upper register. And I know with him, that's not pretty. Anytime he tries to go up high, it gets screechy and ugly with Strud.
Well, we are saving one spot. We are saving one spot for Rashog as a celebrity singer in this contest if he's in town on the 23rd.
This guy, one thing I've learned about Ryan Rashog is he talks a huge game. When the time comes to get up and stand up and be a man in front of everybody, I think he fades. I think he's the Vanek of the karaoke world.
What game am I talking? I'm not talking about my game. I'm just trashing your game. There's a difference, Trud.
I've now just trashed yours. I've offered a challenge. I've done it. I've been up on stage with thousands of people cheering me on as I sing karaoke. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, they're laughing with you, Strud. Not
That's a way to quiet him down. Better go get your cameraman again. Hey, go pick on the tough guy, your cameraman.
Sounds good, boys. Well, hey, if I'm in town, I will do my darndest to get there.
Oh, don't worry. If you're in town, we'll have a cab coming to pick you up.
I will answer the challenge.
Randine has guaranteed she would love to see it.
Oh, she would.
I'm pretty sure Dave... I'm pretty sure Dave Parker would chip in for the cab fare, too.
Yeah. She was there last year and like everybody, had to suffer through you and I do in the Backstreet Boys, Gregor. So I don't have far to go to improve on last year's performance.
I love it.
All right, man. Have a good one. We'll talk to you later. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, take care, boys.